I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I talk to on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. We're continuing with our mini-series, Fire Your Business Coach. We're talking about how so many professionals today seem to be floundering, why they're looking for answers in all the wrong places, and we offer some tips about what they should be doing instead. This week, we're looking at how to pick the people that will help you smash the plateau. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Dan Cushell. Dan is a husband, dad, serial entrepreneur, and angel investor. He's built 11 companies. I'll repeat that. He's built 11 companies, his first in 1992. Dan, that's quite a track record. Welcome to the show.
Well, it's an honor to be here, David. And, you know, when we got introduced, I believe it was by John, who said, or Michael said we needed to get together. I was like, anytime Michael refers somebody, I just jump at the chance. So really pleasure to be with you today and ideally have a great, fun conversation.
Well, I'm grateful that we got introduced, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I know we chatted a little bit offline, but I'm really looking forward to the heart of what we're going to get into. So to start with, so you've built 11 companies. Are you still building companies?
Yes. I love building and creating. I can't help myself. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, David, what 11 companies means, I think, in some ways. Number one, it's a sign of someone's track record of who they are. But number two, you know, I feel like a lot of people in entrepreneurship, you're going to have some wins and you're going to have some losses or some failures. Or as Dan Sullivan of Strategic Coach calls it, you're going to have market research as well. And so today I'm very blessed and fortunate. I work with Joe Polish and Genius Network. I've been teamed up with Joe here for the last couple of years, and we've been able to grow the community, grow the platform quite a bit and have a lot of fun. And then separately, I have a radio show and a podcast called growththefreedom.com. I do some angel investing. And my number one title would be what you said earlier, which is husband. My number two title is dad. And, it's a lot of fun to be able to integrate my life with the things that I do as an entrepreneur and business too.
So Dan, talk to me a little bit about the husband dad part and the integration, because I think a lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah, and I have too over the years. By my nature, David, left to my own devices, I am a type A personality. I'm a workaholic. You know, that's the respectable addiction, as I've heard Joe Polish talk about. And I would literally work 20 hours a day, left to my own devices without any boundaries, habits, and rituals. And I did that for about a decade. In the early 2000s to mid 2000s, I had built up five companies. I had about 175 employees in these five companies, and we were doing really well. And one day I woke up 2 weeks after my son Kyler was born, and I had chest pains, and I ended up in a hospital for 4 days. Thankfully, it ended up being a false alarm. But what happened for me, David, was I reevaluated everything I was doing, because on the third day I was there, I had to sign a disclaimer for a minor surgery that was being done. And the disclaimer said I had a 1 in X chance of dying on the hospital table. And it freaked me the heck out. And I ended up staying up that night writing what I thought might end up being my last will. And I went through a whole series. You know, there's a book called Death and Dying, which is a great book by Kubler-Ross that I read when I was in high school, actually. And there's the 7 stages of death and dying, from denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then ultimately you get to a place of response. And I literally think I went through all of those emotions in a few short hours that night. And yeah, I went from fear and scarcity and, you know, just really what might be loss, and I thought might be loss of my life, to then ultimately shifting my mindset to, when I come out of this, what changes and what shifts am I going to make? And it started me on a path of really, David, focusing on what was important for me. There's a huge difference, right, between what's important and what's most important. And for me, the number one question that came out of that to really look at was, what do I really want in my life, right? What do I really, really want? Not what do my kids want, not what does my ex-wife want, what was my wife want. not what am I 175, but what do I really want? And for me, David, what ended up happening is I sat down and said, you know, I love building business, these businesses, but I don't know that I want to be a hero to this group anymore, which is a saying from Dan Sullivan in Strategic Coach in Business. He says, you know, be careful who you choose to be a hero to. And that's a really profound thing to be able to think about. And so I thought about that. And ultimately, I decided then to sell my company. So about 2 years later, I sold my companies and I started working on me. Most important, I started working on my health. I lost 70 pounds. I've kept it off. I wanted to be more present as a dad and a husband. So I really worked on a lot of different strategies to be able to do that. And out of that came a lot of rituals that today I'm really proud of the rituals that I have. And it's really simple. Number one, I think most goal setting, David, is complete bullshit from the perspective that most people start with the wrong things. They start with like, I'm going to achieve X, like I'm going to, you know, earn X dollars, build X revenue, X profits, you know, go get this thing. You know, Mark Victor Hansen, who I was fortunate to learn from, you know, years ago as a mentor, you know, he says you've got to be, to do, to have. And most of us focus on certain parts of the being, but I, you know, we're all state inducers, I think, as I've heard Tony Robbins say. And so my belief today is that you start with the state you want to go for. You know, Tony Robbins talks about the six human needs overall, from certainty to uncertainty to significance to love/connection to growth, and then ultimately the highest level one is coming from contribution. So today when I make my decisions, what I'm going for is I'm starting with the state do I want? What state do I really want overall? So what do I want is the state. You know, I want a state of contribution. I want a state of making an impact, being a hero to people that are making a contribution, making an impact, right? I want to do something that has real meaning and purpose or significance behind it overall. You know, I'm a risk taker, so I'm adventurous. It's got to be fun. It's got to light me up. And, you know, Joe Polish has this great acronym, and what we do with Genius Network is we help people create an elf business instead of a half business. Easy, lucrative, and fun is the acronym versus half, which is hard, annoying, lame, and frustrating, right? And, you know, the reality is that when you really focus on what you want from a human need perspective, or you might go deeper with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and start with the state you really want to go for, then you can start packing in, okay, what does that mean overall in terms of the strategy? You know, it's principle-based instead of tactic-based. And so, you know, Dan Sullivan also has a great framework as far as, you know, five ways to get paid, which I really pay attention to today, David, that are part of these boundaries that I create. So today I start my day really awarding myself with these majority of these six human needs, which I start my day with. I wake up in the morning, most days between 5 and 5:45 in the morning. Then I go exercise, and I'm usually exercising for 30 to 45 minutes, and I'm also listening or watching a personal development type program or a documentary. Really, I'm an insatiably curious human being. I love to learn about psychology, and I love to learn about human behavior and why we do the things we do. I also love learning about business growth, marketing, you know, those sorts of things. And so I pack myself in this, I don't know, this incubator, if you will, or this vacuum, and I do exercise. Then I usually will follow that with writing and some meditation. So I start my day with that, you know, 45 minutes to an hour and 20 minutes. Then I, you know, have a good healthy breakfast. I like to eat clean, mostly paleo, natural type foods. And that starts the day. You know, then I get into a lot of the to-dos of the day. And then I close my day a certain way as well, which can be very similar. Like twice a week, I like to take walks with my wife, right? And it's a time for me to slow myself down. It's a time for, we take these walks because it's also incorporating exercise. You know, we're holding hands, we're having conversation. So it's, again, filling that, you know, what do I want? I want to fill those six human needs. Now, I say this, by the way, as a framework, you know, is, you know, David, you might find value in this, your listeners might find value in this, but not necessarily for you, anyone to copy my model, but to copy the way I've come up with the model. For me, this is what Dan wants, right? You might want something just a little bit different, but really get clear on, you know, what are the six human needs that you're going for, the state that you really want to be living in more times than not. You'll start your day with success, end your day with things of success. So another thing that I do beyond the walks with my wife, you know, we'll spend time in conversation at dinner. And you know, we have a ritual, not only with my wife, but also my kids, where we like to ask each other a series of different types of questions, like, what am I grateful for right now? right? I'm sure, as you know, that's one of the most powerful places to live, because you can't have fear and gratitude at the same time, right? You just can't have it. They don't coexist.
No, it's very hard.
Right? So when you're constantly looking for the things you're grateful for, the more you find, right, to be grateful for, right? So we love asking that question to each other each day and, you know, coming up with 3 to 5 to 10 different answers each. And what am I happy about right now, right? For a lot of my life, I have found myself where I beat myself up a lot. I'm a type A workaholic type person. So I find myself where I've, you know, been in a place where no matter how great things have been, I may not be the happiest type. So I consciously look at, what am I happy about right now? Another one is, what have I done well today, right? For similar reasons, right? And then a couple, because of my kids, that I find really valuable, that I think I've learned as much from them as business and otherwise, and they're 10 and 8 today. But we ask the question, you know, what mistakes did you make today? And instead of being afraid of mistakes, instead of shying away from them, David, what we do is we acknowledge the mistakes, right? And then we follow that up with, okay, what did you learn from that? I love being able to be a coach to my kids. I love being able to be someone who is a teacher for them, that ideally I'm leaving this thumbprint or this footprint in the sand. And so for me, these rituals are a big part of it. You know, getting clear on what do I want. You know, another thing that I would say is, you know, values. I mean, and all of this, I think, does tie into companies, building companies, you know, building a great family. At the end of the day, David, right, you're the CEO of you're the CEO of your company, you know, and our family unit, you're likely to be the CEO of that. And all of us, regardless of how small our companies are or how big they are, we are the CEO of ourselves. And so, you know, I like talking about these also in what I call the 4 V's, right? There's vision. What is your vision for what you're going for, or really getting clear on what you want? What are the value structures of that, right? You know, when's the last time most people have sat down and really consciously thought, you know, what are my values around being a great leader? You know, what is a great leader, and coming up with a real criteria for defining what that is. I find that most people don't take, and I hadn't. I built a lot of the, I think I had built like 6 or 7 companies, and then I went through this health issue after my son was born, and it wasn't until then that I started going deeper on really clarifying, what do I really want? What do I really want to go for overall? So it's values, or it's vision, it's values, it's being valuable, right? You know, I know one of the contexts of our interview today is about being a part of great communities, right? And great peer groups or masterminds. You know, one of the great philosophies from the book, Think and Grow Rich. And so in a peer group, you know, nothing breaks my heart than when I meet people who are really good people, and they come into a community or come into a peer group or come into a networking opportunity, and they come at it taking the wrong approach. And they go in with the mindset, right, of, what can I get from this? What can I extract from this? And when I extract X, then I'm going to go on to the next group and I'm going to go do the same thing. And it's such a backwards way of, although, you know, hey, at the end of the day, it's a logical way for someone maybe to be thinking about it. And I speak about myself, because probably in the first 5 to 7 years of business, I think I probably likely took that approach. Today, I've learned it works a lot different. The idea is to be valuable in advance, right? Joe Polish at Genius Network, he talks about it, deliver value on the spot. You know, there's a great book, So Good They Can't Ignore You, right? Which is a takeoff of Steve Martin's quote, you know, from a David Letterman interview years ago, which is, be so good they can't ignore you, right? And that's being invaluable to somebody. What is it that you can do to be invaluable, so good they can't ignore you? So it's delivering that value on the spot. It's being valuable up front before there's any kind of, you know, call it financial exchange between the other party. And that's when you come from contribution up front, you come from contribution first, and you deliver that to the right audience or the right people, the right person. You know, it's an unlimited type opportunity that you can create. So it's vision, or it's values, vision, valuable, and then valued. Right? When we deliver great value to the right person, it's also being smart enough and aware enough to go, okay, do these people truly value what I bring to the table? And if yes, well, we continue the relationship. And if the answer is no, well, guess what? Maybe this isn't the right community. Maybe this isn't the right peer. Maybe this isn't the right opportunity for us to continue on in a long-term type of situation. So those are a few things that I could keep going, but I think I want to take a drink of water now.
So Dan, while you're drinking your water, with the refocus that you went through, how did you end up with the getting involved with the Genius Network, and why in particular is the Genius Network so appealing to you?
Oh, great question. So two sides of it. Joe and I had met in the early 2000s. I think it was 2000 or 2001. I had a product that I had created that showed people how to generate more leads, sales, profits, and authority, right? And I showed them how to be able to do that. And Joe was sitting in the audience at this particular presentation that I was doing. And actually about two-thirds through my presentation, he stood up. I hadn't even gotten to the enrollment of what the program officially was. And he ended up grabbing the microphone. He said, if you don't get this guy's product, you're crazy, right? That was my introduction to Joe Polish, right?
Not a bad great thing. Introduction.
Yes, yes. And, you know, so a lot of people, of course, got the program. Joe purchased the program as well. So that was our start. And so then we found out we were both in Phoenix and we developed a relationship. And Joe would seemingly, he's just one of the most generous human beings you'll ever meet. He seemed like he called me about every quarter or so to say, oh, I've got Brian Tracy in my office, or I've got Jack Canfield, or I've got Les Brown, or I've got this person coming to my office. You want to come by? And I'd say, well, when? And it seemed like every when was about 15 minutes away. And unfortunately, I was building and growing my company. So I never made the time to really do it. But he was just always so generous in giving that way. And most people that know Joe know that that's like how he just operates. And then in 2006, he had the idea for now what is called Genius Network. It was called something else at the time. He'd called me up and he said, hey, I'm thinking about starting this group. It's going to be $25,000 to join it. Do you think you want to be a part of it? You know, I'm going to bring together some of the smartest entrepreneurs and leaders and so on together. And I was like, you know what, Joe? If I actually write you a check for this, I'll probably start showing up when you invite me. So yeah, count me in, right? And so I enrolled. I was one of the first handful of people. I think one of the first 3 to 5 people in the group when he started it. He had a vision back then of only 20 people that he would limit it to. And, you know, so then I was a member for multiple years and I got a chance to, you know, I go back to these 4 V's, right? So I got a chance to really be around Joe's vision a lot. I got a chance to see Joe's values. What you see up front, front stage is also what you see backstage. The opportunity to be valuable. One thing you'll hear about Joe regularly is Joe delivers value on the spot in advance, right? With no strings attached. And then valued, I mean, he's someone who just operates from, you know, a place of abundance. And so I got to be around this, right? I attend my 3 meetings a year and I got a tremendous amount of value. And I think even my selling my companies was a big part of that, even me taking that, because, you know, who would let go of a $20 million a year company, right? Or companies, just cut it off. Now, granted, you sell it and there's obviously a value exchange that does happen there. But I think a big part of my confidence in being able to, you know, just let it go, you know, because Joe even said something and why I made the choice of selling my companies when I was going through this is there were 2 quotes that he shared. He said, in order to have a breakthrough, you've got to be willing to break something, right? And another one is be willing to destroy that which is not excellent. And so for me, again, I had to decide for me what I wanted. This isn't what I recommend to everybody, but I chose that for me, I wanted the breakthrough personally mostly. And then I felt that my life wasn't as excellent as it could be. So I was willing to let it go, sold the companies. And then when you're on Joe's radar overall, David, what I found and most people find is that you're permanently on his radar. So I sold the companies and I took a break out of Genius Network as a client and a member. And Joe was still checking in on me. He's like, hey, are you doing all right? You know, is there anything you need? You need any connections? And I, you know, we stayed in touch that way. And I took a couple years break and then came back into the fold. And then one of the members who I had met in my very first meeting, Richard Rossi, who's, you know, been very successful, works with Strategic Coach and Dan Sullivan as well. Richard and I were talking. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm just working on independent fund projects and being a dad and a husband. And he's like, have you ever thought about teaming up with Joe? And I'm like, well, not really. And he got us connected. He got Joe and I to have a conversation. And that conversation ended up being an ongoing 6-month conversation of how we could best structure things to work together as two driven entrepreneurs. And so after we, you know, came up with the model, it's now been about 4 years that we decided to team up. And for me, it's been a very simple yes, because I already had a very strong background being a client, being a member. And now I was just going to transfer the hat and go, okay, well, let's build and grow this even more together. And it's been a lot of fun since.
So, Dan, what do you see as some of the values of being in a peer community for entrepreneurs?
Well, there's all kinds, right? You know, every group has its own unique personality. And I've been, you know, very active in community groups, peer groups, mentoring, masterminding for over 25 years. I think I started in my first one back in 1991 or 1992. So I've had quite a good look at all types of groups. And one of the things that I think, number one, is what is the value based of the member group itself? You know, you know, Dan Sullivan has a great quote, David, which is, you know, I don't want to be the smartest person in the room. I want to be in a room where everybody's getting smarter, right? And I think that's regardless of the group, whether it's our group at Genius Network or any group, I think that's just something to consider. The other part is, how is the group structured, right? You know, there are certain types of groups where it's a guru type group, right? And although people can participate in the peer group, it's really geared to make the guru better in many ways. And I think one of the great leadership strategies that I talk about a lot, and I certainly didn't invent any of this stuff, is that, you know, great leaders bring out the best in others. That's what they do. I think that's the mark of a great CEO. I think it's a mark of a great leader. I think it's a mark of a great peer group, peer mentoring, mastermind type group, bringing out the best in its people. And what I like about Joe, and Joe talks about this publicly overall, he says, you know, I don't want to be known for Joe. I want to be known for the people in the room. And it takes a unique person and personality to be able to pull that off overall, right? And so another one of Joe's philosophies or ideas around this is, I don't want to be the sage from the stage. I want to be a guide from the side, right? So number one, it starts with the culture, right? I think it goes back to even these four views. It's the vision of what you want in that group. It's the values of the group. And as you're asking, you know, what are some of the values? Like in Genius Network, some of the things I appreciate about what we've structured is we've, you know, based it on three strong values: connection, collaboration, and contribution, right? And the connection piece, when people come into our group, David, they have a commitment to not only be present in the meetings that we do, they need to be present for each other. So they have a dual responsibility, not only to be connected in, you know, how many groups have you and I been to where, you know, someone's up presenting or doing this and, you know, half the room's on their cell phones or on their laptop doing their own personal stuff, and they're really not fully engaged, right? So a good, strong group, like we have certain, like, I don't know if I'd call them code of ethics. That might be a little stronger term than we.
Well, but there's certainly group norms based on shared values.
Exactly. So they have to be connected in the room, number one, and then they have to be willing to connect to other people. So like, for example, you know, the idea of being valuable on the spot. So, you know, if I happen to know of a strategy that could help a member, right? Or in this, let's say you're a member. If I have a strategy that could help you, you know, I'm not going to hold my cards to the vest on it. The idea is to connect you with the strategy or the capability that could help you accomplish that goal much faster. So it's connection. It's the collaborative piece, right? We have a process actually in Genius Network, David, that's, you know, we gained a lot of momentum over the last 2.5 years. It's called the 10-minute talk process. And it's really a platform that Joe's created where we give our members the ability to be championed and edified overall, right? Because, hey, at the end of the day, why do we join mentoring group? One, it's to have a peer group. It's to be understood, right? It's to, you know, have a forum to bounce ideas, a sounding board. Those are all great things. On top of that, I think most people want to have a place where they can, you know, generate new business, they can do deal making, strategic partnerships, joint ventures, and be in a room where they're being stretched, right? They, you know, if my company's doing whatever, $20 million a year, I want to be in a room where there's other people with perspective that are also running companies that are say 30 or 40 million a year, because I want to be able to pick their brain. So it's this accelerator approach overall. So then there's the collaborative piece. The 10-minute talk process gives our members the ability to do, you know, like, for example, David, you have like, a superpower that you have running and doing what you do, right? That you probably do better than 95% of the people in the world, right? In fact, let me ask you that. What would you say your superpower is that you do better than anybody else in the world, just out of curiosity?
I don't know about it, better than anybody else in the world, but the feedback I get the most is being a good listener.
And I can see that. And I think anybody that listens to your interviews will see that too, right? Or hear that, either way. And that's such a great leadership capability, right? And so how do you take that skill set? I mean, you could package a 10-minute talk, which is condensed wisdom in our model, which is, how does this condensed wisdom deliver at least $250,000 in value? Well, I don't think listening is a $250,000 proposition. I think it's a multi-million dollar. That's my personal perspective, right? So what is the talk that you could do in 10 minutes that would be relevant to a group of peers, right, that would give them that condensed wisdom and it would champion you? And here's what inevitably happens in this collaborative process. Overall, because what, you know, Jay, are you familiar with Jay Abraham, Dave?
Yes.
So Jay Abraham, David, he, you know, he's been running high profile groups for, I think, 3 or 4 decades now. And he's a big fan of ours and Joe's. And, you know, he says our group is the only group he's ever seen, including the ones he's built and created. He says your group is the only one where this high level entrepreneur comes into this environment and they get to be both, he calls it the beneficiary and the benefactor at the same exact time. And what that means is we've set things up. We've got a series of exercises. One of the probably 6 to 10 exercises we do at every meeting is this 10-minute talk process. But it allows our members to come together and show up and not be just a student and not just show up to be a teacher, but they get to be both at the same time, right? And imagine a place where you can come. You're already successful. You want to go to the next level. You're in a room with peers. And you get the ability to fill both sides of the equation. You can be both the student and the teacher at this. So I think a great value of a great peer group, you know, allows for the connection piece. It allows for the collaboration piece to champion people the right way. Then the third is the ability to contribute. You know, someone that's got a bigger purpose than just, say, making money in business. It's, you know, what is the overall impact that they're really going for, the contribution they're making? You know, Dan Sullivan, one of his terms he uses for this, David, is, and you've probably heard it, is he calls it being an industry transformer, right? So it's someone who's leading their industry or desires to lead their industry that really wants to make a global impact in that particular industry and transform the way that industry even is operating, you know, and likely will be completely different in a decade than it is today. Right. For example, Peter Diamandis is a member in Genius Network. And so Peter, you know, he's, you know, been in the top 500 and, you know, Forbes 500 as far as most influential people. He's, you know, at the forefront of some of the leading science and technology things going on with, you know, the X Prize Foundation and Singularity University. And so Peter is one of these human beings that, I mean, he's transforming the world. Him and Ray Kurzweil. Ray Kurzweil is considered to be the Edison of our time. And doing a lot of work with, you know, artificial intelligence and, I mean, all kinds of crazy things. And, you know, what's really interesting is, you know, how great would it be to be around people who, I mean, are making a global impact? And whether it's someone like Peter or Ray Kurzweil, right, who participated in our events and do regularly, what about, you know, the entrepreneur that's, you know, maybe building their brick and mortar business, right? Or someone who wants to transform the education system, or someone who, you know, like you, you are on a path to transform the way peer groups and masterminds may be set up, and helping entrepreneurs go out and build and grow and get away from the friction and the noise and having to be so caught up in the day-to-day details of the business. That's what I, you know, love about what, you know, the little bit I know about what you're doing, David, is you go out and you really help people strip away some of these things so that they can work on the higher planes of their business. And, you know, we pride ourselves as well on having a group where they can connect, they can collaborate, they can contribute, and look to be the very best at what they do in the industry. Currently, we have about 256, you know, current active members in the group. And that's been a process. You know, Joe's vision back when he started in 2006, 2007, his cap was to have 20 people in the group. And guess what? Like all of us, things do change and shift, and we look to make improvements. overall. So those are a few that pop out. I mean, I could probably, you know, give you a few other person. In fact, here recently, David, we have something called the Genius Network Scorecard. And it's really a value-based, and it's just one of the tools that we use. And we actually show our members how to create their own scorecard as well, which Dan Sullivan was the catalyst for that. But we have 8 key mindsets that we look to evaluate our members on when they come into our program. Number in no particular order of importance, they're all of equal value. And I'll just go through them. So the first mindset is ambitious, right? You know, an ambitious mindset. So this is someone on a high level is continually looking to expand their vision of their future after each new achievement and success, right? Whereas on the other end of things, they, you know, are stuck where you feel that everything important lies in the past and maybe there's nothing ahead. And then there might be some people in the middle. So our higher level member is really looking to expand their vision after each new achievement. So they're constantly looking to improve. Second mindset is they're a driven doer, right? The third, they're generous and a giver. And I think, you know, that value shows up because that's who Joe is. Number four, they're a fun achiever, right? Joe talks about elf versus half, fun achiever. Number five is they respect marketing. Some people have this mindset around marketing, and probably for good reason in some cases, because, you know, marketing done wrong, you know, really can, you know, really set the wrong stage, but marketing done right can really influence and make a big difference in the world. Number six is coachable, you know, someone that is coachable. Number seven is they lead by example. And then number eight is they're a seeker, you know, like, for example, you know, at the highest plane of being a seeker with Genius Network, the single most important project is always to be transforming yourself into a better human being and entrepreneur. Now, by the way, Joe consciously identified these 8 mindsets around what he wants in an ideal Genius Network member and client, right? And everybody's group will be a little bit different, and that's what makes each of these groups unique. But ideally, that gives a pretty good framework to be thinking about how we do it here with Genius Network.
So, Dan, you've talked a lot about the strength of a community being in its people. What kind of tips can you offer about how, once you've establish what your values are and you kind of know who you want to have in the room, what kind of tips can you offer on how to find the right people, how to encourage them to join your community, how to engage them, and then finally how to spread the word to others?
Wow, that's a big question, right? So a few things. The more, you know, in the beginning of our careers, I think, you know, David, most of us realize that the what we do is what we get compensated for. And then later on in our career, as we get older, I think, you know, this was even documented in Think and Grow Rich, the who we are becomes far more valuable. Like Richard Branson, for example, you know, I've been fortunate because of, you know, Joe's the number one fundraiser for Richard and Virgin Unite. You know, I think he's helped contribute, you know, $4 million to Virgin Unite. Joe and our community have, and getting a chance to be around Richard is really compensated today. I think this is my own personal perspective on it, is he's paid and compensated because of the who he is in many ways. And then he surrounded himself with a great team. So I think all of us can learn from, like, say, Richard Branson is, you know, as we build, number one, we build our reputation up front by what we do. And then we maintain that over the long term for who we are. And so as we're building a group, you know, going to your direct question of, I would, you know, look to set up a model where the model is built on, say, an invitation or a nomination process or an application type process, right? That is really screened and considered. Like in our criteria, today, the minimum criteria for someone to be involved in Genius Network, they have to be running at minimum $1 million a year business, right? As part of that criteria. And there are other criteria, but that's like one. So it might be a financial criteria to really hone in. And another factor is when we do the interview process, we're really looking to see where people are in their value base of, you know, how are they as a connector, right? And their ability to truly connect. Why do they want to be a part of it? how are they going to show up as a collaborator? Because, you know, at the end of the day, there are certain types of people who have super egos, and it just won't allow themselves to come into a group, any group, let alone our group, right? So evaluating that side of it. And then the third one in our environment is the contribution. So setting up a model, whatever your value system may be, is being able to screen and have criteria that allow you to interview people to self-select. It becomes more of a disqualification process than a qualification process, right? So you're looking to have a right fit type environment overall, you know, identify who you want to be a hero to. So once you establish that framework, then the other part is, you know, as you start building your member base, whether it's 5 people, 20 people, 50 people, or now as we've grown up close to, you know, 250 type members, is how can you deliver an experience to those members that they want to be with you ongoing, right? And being very conscious about that. So Joe created his program where, you know, the minimum value, in fact, everybody that comes in is on probation the first year, that if, you know, they don't demonstrate how they've been able to, you know, create and generate at least $250,000 of return directly attributable to our group, we actually ask them not to come back the following year. So for us, that's part of the process in the staging, if you will, because we want to make sure people are active people. They're not sitting on the sideline. There's a big difference between being in the game and playing it versus, you know, standing out on the sideline with this, with any type of a peer group, mentoring, masterminding type environment. So you set the framework, you interview for that criteria, then you create a member experience that you really want to communicate what you want in a long-term member, right? So today we even talk about in our platform of expectation is we're looking for our members to look at this as a 10-year engagement, you know, overall, right? And not that everybody will be with us for 10 years, but to start thinking about that from the beginning is, you know, is part of the value structure and the framework right from the beginning, David. And so for you, you know, as you're thinking about that, or if anybody's thinking about building a group, is how can you set the stage for the long-term aspect? Like, we're very proud of our renewal rate. And of course, this has changed over the years. Some years it's been a lot lower. And, you know, today we have a renewal rate of right around 74%. And I think that comes back because of the way Joe set the group up, that it's really hard for people to not get 10 times their value from the group and then want to stay and be a part of the group and the community part of this on an ongoing basis overall. So that's another piece. Referrals, right? Thinking about the referral structure that you have. Like, one of the things I've appreciated about Joe's values, David, is he's never created a financial model for referrals, right? A lot of groups have financial models to reward referrals. In other words, you know, whether you call that affiliates or whether you call that, shared revenue, partnership, that sort of thing. Joe has chosen, like when I first started in 2006, when he started the group, I asked him, you know, if I refer people to the group, you know, can I get some kind of a, you know, earn back or against my future participation? He's like, well, Dan, I've set this up that I want members to feel so good about what we do that they just want to invite the right type of people to it, right? Not be financially motivated, not be financially incentivized, right? And he still maintains that same value system today, David. So that's another factor. Some people, and I know plenty of peer groups that do reward people financially and they're good groups. Joe has chosen not to. So I think deciding how you're going to go about doing that, because you want to get clear on that value up front in advance. Otherwise, it creates a convoluted environment if it changes down the road. And better, to start it without a financial incentivization up front than with it if you're going to do that in the future. So that's another thing to think about. The other part is in the referral model, I believe to think about the psychology of referrals today is something to look at in business. You know, saying the word referral to the masses is just not very cool, right? but on the other hand, you know, asking, you know, someone to nominate somebody or asking someone to invite someone is, you know, a different perspective and shows up in a lot cooler way. Like, Google grew their user base in Gmail when they launched it in the mid 2000s to 30 million users, and it was by invite only, right? I think we can all look at that type of a model and go, wow, how can I apply that in my business, right? How can I apply that to a mastermind? How can I apply that to a peer group? So make it by invitation only, stimulate members and create an easy way. One of our members, alumnus, is a gentleman named Doug Andrew. He says, create it so that people can defend it with pride, right? Another one of our members, Dean Graziosi, has this idea. He says, make it so low the goats can eat it. So you've got to create it in such a simple way that it makes it easy to invite, nominate, or, you know, for our terms, refer people, but do it in a cool, elegant way. Overall, I would recommend not creating a financial incentivization model to invite people to be a part of the group, but give them, you know, obviously thank them, appreciate them for any type of referrals, but, you know, that's something to be thinking through. And then by creating the right experience, I think it creates exponential momentum, David, and then it leads you to be able to do some other things, right? Like advertising. Because when you start building up the reputation and the quality of the group, you can create a predictable, you know, business slash marketing slash sales model to highlight and target, you know, candidates that would be a right fit type person for the group or environment that you're creating. So those would be a couple steps to be in. You and I could spend a week on this.
I'm sure we can. 6 to 8 hours. Yeah, I'm sure we can.
Of breaking it down. But those are a couple things that come to mind overall. Yeah.
What do you think, Dan, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges to leaders of support communities?
Oh, that's a really good one. A few of the big challenges is they get themselves in the way. They run it as a guru platform, right? Instead of really making it for what it is, which is the members, right? The old FM radio station most of us have heard about, which is WIIFM, right? What's in it for me, right? The person that attends in a member group. Now, if we are okay with people coming into the group and, you know, they just come in because they were going to get their 7 strategic partners in that, you know, year, 2 years, 3 years, and then they're going to leave to go do the same thing in another group. You know, and there's a lot of good groups like that. And, you know, that's a specific type of model. But if it's really a model built on the long term and creating a true community where you have a lifelong community feel to it, then it's getting ourselves out of the way and making it about the members and setting up things for the member engagement. Like the two best groups I've ever, I personally have ever been a part of. And I'm biased,
we all are, right?
To this because of my involvement with Genius Network in the role. But why did I continue to be in Genius Network before this role that I'm in now with Joe? Is because he delivered the best experience I had ever been a part of. So I was in the group 4 or 5 years happily because of that. The other group is Dan Sullivan of Strategic Coach. And the two similarities that I see with both of them, right, is that they get members involved and engaged. And the way they do that is they've created proprietary tools, thinking exercises that they walk people through. And, you know, and it could, you know, like in our environment, it's more about business growth and, say, you know, marketing and creativity ideas. And, you know, there's a series of, you know, if you were a member, David, there'd be 6 to 8 exercises that when you attended your meetings that you would go through, and they'd be a little bit unique each time overall. But then on top of those exercises, we create mini discussions around the exercises. So now you show up as a student and a teacher. So it's that collaboration piece. So I think good groups will get their members to collaborate a lot. Now you could look at this as simple as like a hot seat exercise, you know, and that is a great place to even think about doing it, right? Identify what is your greatest problem or danger or threat that you're dealing with or opportunity, and then get feedback from others and get people into these small groups of 3 and 4 people and rotate around so they get engagement to develop new relationships and or deepen current relationships they've already pre-established. So it's connecting with people, it's collaborating, it's creating a unique experience of learning that's, you know, gives them, because let's face it, as entrepreneurs, who are we? You know, most entrepreneurs are ADD natured, right? Have traits of ADD. They're highly
More than traits.
distracted, distractible, right? They have, you know, their own views on things, their strong personalities, right? All these things.
They like chaos.
Yes, they like chaos. They like creativity. They don't like structure, even though they want structure to a degree in their companies at some point. Most of them are, you know, wearing many hats, but they, you know, they like it, but they hate it. They feel alone in many ways because people don't get them. Their teams many times don't get them. They don't understand them. They think they're nuts. They think they're a black sheep. Their families many times can feel that way. So if you can create an environment where people feel understood, where you can channel those incredible gifts, those, the question I asked earlier, what's your superpower? That 5% of talent capabilities, the things you do, like in your case, you mentioned listening. And there's probably another one or two things that fit into that 5% category of capability. And when you can channel that, and the unique thing, you put 20 entrepreneurs in a room in any peer group, in any place around the world, it's going to be different for all those 20 people. Now, when you bring those highly creative people together with all those differences, then there you start to see the similarities, and there's a magic that happens. And one of my favorite quotes from Disney, and why I don't think that you can have too many peer groups and mastermind groups, because at the end of the day, there is a place for all types. And Disney's quote, as I recall it, was, you know, you can steal the idea of something, but you can't steal the magic. And the key is, like, as anybody might be looking to build their own peer group or their own mentoring group or their own mastermind group, is what is that magic you have that they can't get anywhere else? Because you'll have people that'll come into that group who run other coaches. Like our group, we attract leaders who run groups. You know, our members, they don't really attend other groups except ours. They're running groups, right? And, you know, or Joe calls it, what is his term, is we've built a tribe of tribal leaders. Right, which is part of our magic. So, but every group, you know, there's groups like Dan Sullivan at Strategic Coach. He attracts a certain group of people and who will stay with him for, you know, X number of years because he's got his magic. And even though people might come there for temporary periods of time and might, you know, theoretically look at, oh, I can steal that idea and I'll go start my own group, which is fine. There's plenty of space for that. But guess what? They can go ahead and now they have to figure out a way to create their magic. And the key is creating something that's unique, creating something in a way that makes members, the community, feel championed, and looking at ways to disrupt the industry, because, you know, this industry is becoming commoditized. Information is becoming commoditized. What I love about mentoring in peer groups and mastermind groups, David, and I know as a path that you're on, is I think the biggest thing we're fighting against today in business and in the world is really feeling connected. People are artificially connected and they know it, or maybe they don't know it. I would say they feel it because
what I've seen is people are longing to be part of communities like what we've just described.
Yes.
And there's a reason for it. And I think you've hit the nail on the head, which is the commoditization of everything in our world and information overload. And you cannot commoditize a relationship.
Yes.
There's right. No way to do it.
Yep. I agree.
Well, Dan, this has been a really, really fascinating and valuable conversation about creating, leading, and being a member of great support communities. I know you and I could go on for a lot longer, but
yes.
but we're out of time, and I want to give you an opportunity to tell listeners how they can learn more about you and what you do.
Awesome. So we open our community up to our non-members one time a year. We have our annual event, usually near the end of the year. This year it happens to be in October. So if you want to learn more about what we do to bring members together to connect, collaborate, contribute, you can go to geniusnetworkevents.com. That's geniusnetworkevents.com. It'll give you more information. It's also an event where we vet out the members to make sure that we're working with right fit type clients and entrepreneurs as well. It's a $10,000 event, and it's got an incredible guarantee to it as well. And you can get all the info on the site. But we'll have about 350 people at the event. This year, we don't do large seminar events, David. We do smaller, more intimate. And 350 is about our max, not including our staff and team overall. And we found that is a sweet spot and really works for us overall. So there'll be about 350, you know, top level entrepreneurs there. You'll meet a lot of our Genius Network members there and so on. So geniusnetworkevents.com. And also, I know you and I will be doing an interview soon. If you want to learn more about some of the things we're doing with growthtofreedom.com and our platform as well with, you know, about leadership, inspiration, and transformation, feel free to visit us at growthtofreedom.com.
Sounds good. Dan, well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Dan Cashel, entrepreneur, investor, community leader, and husband and dad. Thanks again, Dan, for joining us. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. Let's continue the discussion. Connect with me on LinkedIn and Twitter. Please share this episode with your colleagues and friends, and it would help a great deal if you'd write a review on iTunes so that new people can find us. Come back and listen next week as we explore how to structure your community so that it will support your success and the success of everyone who is a member of the community. My guest, corporate psychologist Dave Poppel, shares some great tips that will help you understand the environmental factors that are key to the success of a community. It's an episode you won't want to miss. I hope you've enjoyed what you've learned. I know your time is precious, and I want to thank you for spending some of it with us today.